Okay. Yeah, I'll have a backup one anyways. Okay, thanks. So yeah, so at some point, maybe I'll learn some of your names, we'll see. But let's get started. We do have a lot of material to get through. So Reb Zimmerman asked me to get through three topics in Hilchos Shabbos. Misasik, Melacha Miskayemes, Mekalkel. So we're going to run through them. Hope we get through it. I've sent out, in addition to these sources, you already sent it out? You sent it out already, yeah. My email? Articles, background, follow-up readings, resources that you can have, all types of stuff. Okay. The first topic is Misasik. So what is Misasik? So basically, in Kol HaTorah Kula, in addition to Mezid, in addition to cases where one intentionally violates a sin and therefore is fully culpable, is fully liable for the sin, we have all types of degradations of less intentional, less premeditated sin. We have shogeg, we have variations on shogeg, shogeg which is karav lemezid, shogeg which is karav laones, ones at different forms, right? Ones of the coerced form, internal coercion, external coercion, etc. And then we have what is likely the lowest on the ladder, which is misasik. And misasik is more or less, but we'll have to find this a little bit more, when one does an action, not necessarily malacha, but does an action, not just unintentionally, which might be shogeg, but in the process of doing something else, meaning totally you weren't involved in it at all, it just happened as part of what you were doing. We'll have to clarify that in a moment. And that is, as I said, in general, considered the lowest possible way one could do an Avera. I mean, as we'll see, the Acharonim suggest maybe it's as if you didn't do the Avera at all, because really you were doing something else. It just happened while you were involved in some other activity. But before we get into Misasik, I want to frame this a bit, I don't know if you want to call it philosophically, conceptually, somewhere in between. And this analysis is based on Rav Lichtenstein. I heard it when I was in Shir, when I was learning Beitza, so 11 years ago. But since then, it's been published in his Sefer on Hurios. It's one of the first chapters. Rav Lichtenstein, starting with Shogeg, I'm asked the following question, right? He says, okay, given, as I've said, the primary category of sin is mezid, is intentional, is premeditated sin. Why is it that we find in halacha levels of liability for shogeg, right? Why is it that if one violates a sin which carries either the death penalty or kares when done intentionally, if he does that sin by accident, so he brings a karban chatas? Right, so what do you say? I don't know if you looked at the sources yet, but what do you say? Okay, so I gave you the first source, is just the pasuk, right? So Rav Lichtenstein noted that fundamentally there is a machlokes between the Rambam and the Ramban. The Rambam in source 2 here in Hilchos Shagos, Perakei Alachavav, in the context of cases in which one is not chayev kares, for sleeping with a nida, because it's defined as ones, backhandedly, he then explains why, in cases of shogeg, you are liable. So Rambam says, "Abal ishto shelo b'shas vesta." Right. So as we know, the halacha is that, in addition to when a woman is actually a nida, because nida is by its definition periodical, right? Because it is regular, it is somewhat predictable. So either midaraisa, midarabanan, there is a chiyuv to be poresh b'shas vesta when there is an anticipated. An anticipated period. However, if a woman has a fluke seeing in the middle of her cycle, and the husband happens to be with her at that time, so the Rambam says, you are totally exempt, right? Because look, right, what are you supposed to do? Husbands and wives are allowed to be together. If she happens to be ro'edam while they are together, when it's nowhere near her period, so you can't expect them to separate forever on the concern that maybe she'll have a fluke seeing. That's considered an ones. You don't need a karban. But once the Rambam is saying this, he goes out of his way and he says, okay, but why then is one liable if it's not ones? What if it's shogeg? Right? Let's say one sleeps with his wife. She's not yet a nida, but it is shas veset, right? It is something that could happen. So why would one be liable, or any other shogeg? So the Rambam says, shogeg hayelo livdok ulidakdek. Shogeg is a case where one should have looked into it. He should have been careful. Ve'ilu badak yafe yafe. And had he looked into it, v'dikdek v'sheilot, and he would have asked the right questions, lo haya ba lidei shkaga. So he wouldn't have violated by accident. Ulefish lo tarach v'drisho v'chakira. And since he didn't do his investigations, he didn't do his due diligence, v'achar kach yaset tzarech kapara. And yet, he engaged in this action. So he needs kapara. So Rav Lochlinstein said, what is the Rambam telling you? The Rambam is telling you that basically, shogeg is on the same retzef, on the same spectrum as mazid. And just like in American law, right? You have premeditated murder, you have manslaughter, gross negligence. All those cases assume a level of actual culpability. Now, premeditated murder is the worst, but gross negligence, criminal negligence, manslaughter, right? They all, you're actually culpable. You're actually a sinner. You are a criminal, not at the level of someone who is intentional, but what are you being punished for? What do you need kapara for? For being flippant, for not being careful. Right? And that's also something that we hold people responsible for, right? If you have kids, you know this, right? If your kids intentionally slap their siblings, so you get angry. But if they just, right, they're not looking and they step on their little brother when they know that they're there, right, you also get annoyed. You should look where you're going. You know you have a little brother who's crawling around, right? If you're the big brother, you should know better, right? We don't get as angry as when it's intentional, but fundamentally, they're still guilty. The Ramban, on the other hand, seems not to say it that way, though in Shar Gemul he raises both possibilities. The Ramban ala Torah says it's not true. The Ramban, you just looked at the underlined part, in number 3, he says, it's not true. Even if one violates Bishogeg, he's still beloved by God. He did nothing wrong. So then why is he punished? Right? Does he bring a karban? So the Ramban says, well, it's not really a punishment at all. Right, what is it? There is metaphysical reality to sin. Right? Sin has a truth in the world. Right? It's not just God said don't sin. Once God said don't sin, sin affects your soul. So even if it was an accident, still, you are a sinner. And the Ramban explains both of these positions more in detail. Number 4 in the Shara Gemul. Look at the underlined portion. He says, Umau cheto. So first he raises the Rambam's type, and then he says what he says al Torah. Umau cheto. What is the sin of someone who violated Bishogeg? Shlo nizar ba'atzmo v'lo yorei v'chareid al divrei ha'makom baruchu shlo yochav v'lo yase davar ad she'yivdok yafe yafe. Possibility ones like the Rambam. That he wasn't careful enough, he wasn't afraid of Dvar Hashem to avoid the actions without checking, v'yitgalelo adavar shu mutar, until he was sure that it was permitted, v'roi lo lefik zerotav shekodesh baruch hu, right, and that it was something proper to do based on what God said. V'aderech azu tam cheit hashkaga v'chol ha-Torah. And that's why one is liable for accidental sin in kol ha-Torah kula. V'od. But then he says, shekol davar ha-asur melachlech ha-nefesh, all things which are prohibited, dirty your soul, and we darshan, not vinit mesem, because vinit mesem is written without an aleph, so we read it vinit tamtem, that you'll become spiritually clogged, let's say. L'fichach nikra shogeg chote. Is it that's why a sinner is a sinner, or someone who sins accidentally is still a sinner. Why? He doesn't get punished. You don't get punished in purgatory. You need cleansing. But you need to be cleansed. And therefore God in His infinite mercy gave us karbanot for shogeg to cleanse our soul. So what does the Ramban say in his second possibility, and it's the only one he brings al HaTorah? The Ramban says it's not true. Someone who violates by accident, in terms of guilt, There is nothing. He's Ratzui Hashem. God loves him. Elamai. There's a reality to sin. And he did the Avera, and it made his soul dirty. It made his soul dirty. So God gave him a medicine. God gave him a solution for the Avera. The Ran has an even stronger formulation of it. The Ran, in a very striking passage in the 11th Drush, and Drush's Haran, says as follows. He's talking about a different case. In general, the Rishonim, the Achronim, write at length about what happens if somebody violates an Avera because he listened to Beis Din, or he listened to a Posek, and it turns out that they were wrong. They made a mistake. So, is it, to quote the Chakira of Louis Brandeis, right, is it that Beis Din is... No, we don't know the Chakira. Is the Supreme Court right because they're final, or final because they're right? Right, meaning, are they koveya reality? Right, they're right because they are final. Right, because what they say is the halacha, so they are right by definition. Right, it's tautologist to say they're right because it's definitional. Or are they final because they're right? Right, the assumption is they got it right, and that's why we listen to them. So the Ran very strongly comes down on the side that they are final because they are right, not they're right because they're final. Meaning, the reason we listen to Beis Din, or the reason we listen to a posek, I won't get into the exact details of who Lotasar applies to, right? Most, the Rambam assumes it's Sanhedrin HaGadol. It may extend to Chazal in general. The Ritva, in a fascinating moment, assumes it applies to your Mor D'Asra, the full brunt of Lotasar and Shabbos Daf Kuf Lamed. Whoever exactly it applies to, the Ran says, if one violates in Avera because Sanhedrin told you to, so don't tell me that they are right because they are final. That the halacha wasn't nikba until Sanhedrin said it. And therefore, look, they get it wrong. They're not really wrong. They're always right. They're koveya reality. It's not true. The Ran says, they just paskin based on what they think the halacha is. And normally they get it right. But what happens if they get it wrong? So he says, if you look at just the underlined parts, he said, aval na'amin. We believe that everything the Torah said is aser damages our soul. It gives, it makes a bad mark in our soul. The we may not understand it, but that's what we believe. And then he gives a mashal. Again, skipping to the underlined. What would happen if every doctor in the world said that a particular medicine is good for you, right? Like they used to say about smoking, right? Everyone said, oh, it's so healthy, right? It's great for you. And instead it is the worst of the worst. I won't get into what exactly he's talking about, but the worst in Greek medical terms, fine. Right? It's not going to like help you. It's not going to make you healthy just because the doctor said it's going to. What's it going to do? It's going to kill you, right? If it's poison, it's going to poison you. Same thing's true of sin. Sanhedrin HaGadol, Yoshev Yerushalayim, could tell you that something is mutter. If they're wrong up in heaven, your soul is messed up. Now at the end, he pulls a deus ex machina in the most literal sense of that word, right? Literally, a divine, right? A divine solution out of thin air, right? Which is, yeah, that should be true, but then God performs a nace because he wants to listen to Sanhedrin. So even though it's true that you get poisoned, God comes and he cures the poison. Fine. But fundamentally, what does the Ran say? Like the Ramban, there's a metaphysical reality to sin, therefore it doesn't matter if you did it, bemazed, beshogeg, there is a pigam. There's something wrong in your soul that has to be fixed. Okay? I gave you in 6 a discussion with Remeir Arik. In terms of whether you need kapara, you can look there. Parenthetically, you should all ask me, okay, this is very nice. Why then, bein la Rambam, bein la Ramban, is this only true, the only need of karban chatas, by Yisurei Kares, and not by Yisurei Lav? So, that's not clear, right? No one really explains, right? It could just be that for the Rambam, it's true that you're guilty, but like, you know, we have manslaughter, but we don't have like accidental, I don't know, petty larceny, I don't know, right? Meaning petty larceny, right? Meaning, look, exactly. He's saying, look, like, you know, if it's a really bad avera, which you did flippantly, so fine. So you need like a big kapara. Everything else, okay, you need something small. I don't know, right? According to the Ramban, it's less clear, right? Because, you know, maybe he'll say, well, tshuva is enough to, what? Right, tshuva, Yom Kippur is enough to clean, something like that, right? Bednarsh is a fancy lamdos that he told me once when I was also like, when I was in Chanabed, I think, when he was teaching shir on Avodah Zarah. We used to have this fun shir on Shabbos afternoon for Chanabed where, it's only Rabbi Bednarsh. Only Rabbi Bednarsh. He gave shir every Shabbos afternoon. At some point, he decided he wanted to give every Shabbos on a Masechta. And he would run through, for 2 hours, he would run through all the main lamdas of the Masechta as fast as he could. And we did a Masechta Shabbos, moving. He wanted to go from Brachos, I dared him to go backwards. So we went backwards, from Nida through Kachim. It was fun. It was really crazy. But Rabbi Bednarsh suggested that if you look in the Achronim have a Chakira in general. Right? Our Averos to over-exaggerate this, but our Averot, I hate saying this, Yisuri Gavra or Yisuri Chetza, right? Meaning, our Averot fundamentally, right? Is it that they're really wrong? Or God just told you not to do it? Right? So he suggested, maybe according to the Ramban, you could suggest that Yisuri Kares are, right? Yisuri Chetza, so to speak. There's a reality to them external to the person. And Yisuri Lav are fundamentally Yisuri Gavra, right? That what's his raya? His raya is a weird raivid. The Ravid is quoted by the Meiri in Avodah Zarah Samach Dalam and Beis that the Gemara over there says, what is a Ger Toshav? So, Gemara has a three-way machlokes. The position of Rabbi Meir in the Gemara is that a Ger Toshav is someone who accepted Kola Terakula minus Achilas Nevelos, because the Pasuk explicitly says that they can be Achil Nevelos. That's how most Rishonim understand it. But the Ravid says something different. The Ravid says, no, a Ger Toshav is somebody who accepts all Isuri Kares and no Isuri Lavin. Right? And Rabbi Ben Narsen said, maybe the reason is because, look, he's not a Jew, so he's not Chayavin Chiyuve Gavra, because he hasn't been commanded yet. But he believes in the Torah, he believes in the validity of the Torah, so things that have a metaphysical reality external to him, he will keep. Right? That was his lamdas. You can take it or leave it. Shetei da, that exists. Okay, fine. Why do I bring this up? Right? Because all this is only true of Shogeg. But then you have to ask the next question. Okay, but as I said, there's a whole series of gradations of sin below that. Ones and Misasek. Why is it that consistently we do not find any type of kapara necessary by these lesser levels of sin? And here is where the Achronim especially open the possibility that all of this is only true of Shogeg. But misasek or ones may not be considered an avera at all, and therefore you might not need kapara at all, right? Now, from the level of the Rambam, I get it, right? From the Rambam, it's pretty easy, right? The Rambam says ilu badek yafe yafe, but ones and misasek, you couldn't have checked, right? You were either under coercion or it was a total complete accident that you had, right? You weren't involved at all. It makes sense. Even according to the Ramban it's harder, right? The Ramban, what are you going to tell me? Right? I did the Avera, but it doesn't affect my soul. Right? We're going to see in a moment, we're talking about Shabbos. So there you have to say, like the Achronim, and that's what we'll get to now, the possibility that Misasek, unlike the higher levels, Misasek might not, and it's true possibly for Ones as well, the Achronim had the same discussion by Ones, it could be that those are not considered Mas Avera at all, or they are sort of Masa Avera that happened without a person, and therefore the not mityaches to the person. There's all types of fancy formulations in the Achronim, but we'll leave it at it's not a Masa Avera at all. Right? But that possibility is open when you realize this sort of background. Right? That there's a reality to sin, even without fundamental culpability. So then why is it that these lower levels we don't find it? Right, that leads you in this direction. Perhaps the reason is because they're not considered Masa Avera. And that's what we need to explore now. And as we'll see, there are many nafkaminis to this question, right? I'm not going to leave you just with lamdas. This will sort of just frame our discussion. But there are nafkaminis to this question. And that's some of the articles that I've sent you. Very practical nafkaminis to this question. Okay. So, Mizasek. Where does Mizasek come from? So, there are two sources that the Gemara brings for why someone who violates an Avera in under Misasek is exempt. The first is the source in what has renumbered itself one after two, right after Roman numeral two. And the Gemara darshins number two. This pasuk tells you that you are not liable if you violate a sin through misasik. Now later on in that Gemara, on the next Amud, in source three, the Gemara then gets into a discussion of misasik. And the Gemara says, misasik demai. If it's misasek in the case of sexual or repetitive violations, so then one is liable. The Amar of Nachman, Amar Shmuel, misasek bechalavim v'arayos chayav shekein nehene. That even if one is misasek, but it's in a case where he gets benefit, he gets undeniable physical benefit, so then it is, one is liable. Again, that's either because you then can't deny that the masa happened, or if you take the position that misasek, the maisa happened, but it is alienated from the person entirely, it's sort of a free-floating sin, the hana'a ties it back to the person. Again, there are long discussions of the achronim, all types of fancy formulations. But suffice it to say that by chalavim v'arayos, the Gemara says, you are not pater because of misasek. V'i misasek v'shabas pater. But if it's Shabbos, then everyone would agree you are exempt. Why? My taima, meleches machsheves asra Torah. Because, as we know, the rule of Shabbos, as the Mishnah and ensuing Gemara tell us in Chagiga Daf Yod, Hilchos Shabbos ke harim atluyim besara. What is that? Meleches machsheves, which is the biggest rule in Hilchos Shabbos. Rav Asher Weiss has an article in his Sefer on Shabbos, and part of it appears in Alat Torah as well, that he found at least 15 distinct applications, like klalim, that are derived from Meleches Machsheves. But this is the rule in Hilchos Shabbos. In order for something to be Asur, it needs to be Meleches Machsheves, which either relates to a series of Kavana-based halachot or a series of Melechet Umanos related halachos, the notion that Hilchos Shabbos have to be professionally oriented, which is how Unkelus is mitargem the pasuk al ha-tera. So the Gemara says that if it's on Shabbos, everyone agrees that you're pater because misasek violates the rule or does not provide a case of meleches machsheves. Now, kamuvan, right, the second you have two psukim for misasek, one which is from Hilchos Shabbos and one which is not, what the Rishonim and the Achronim already jump on is misasek in Hilchos Shabbos the same as misasek b'kol ha-Torah kula? So if you remember before we mentioned the question of is misasek not an avera at all, right? Is that really how we conceptualize it, or is that not the case, right? Perhaps it still is a sin, it's just very low down on the ladder. It's also possible, as we will see, and this will be the position of Rabbi Givager, that it depends. That there's a level of misasek in kol ha-Torah kula, and then there's a level in Shabbos. And Shabbos may be distinct because, in general, it has higher requirements for something to be defined as a malacha. And therefore, it may be that certain things will not be misasek in kol ha-Torah kula, but they are in Hilchos Shabbos. I'm debating how to do this. You know what? Okay, hold that thought, because I'm going to have to complicate it for you a little bit more before we get to it. I've given you in source 4 here a link. Rav Lichtenstein has a very careful analysis of the three lines that we're about to read in his Shurim on Zvachim, which are all available online, hence I gave you the link. The Gemara continues to try to define what exactly Misasek is. So the Gemara says as follows, L'rova mishkachas l'kegon sh'niskavin l'chtoch ez ha'talush v'chotach ez ha'mechubar. Rava will assume that this case is where you intended to cut something on Shabbos that was already cut, which is permitted, and it turns out that it was mechubar, right? You thought it was just lying on the ground, right? You went to pick up a carrot, you thought you picked it before Shabbos, and turns out that it was still planted. La'bayei mishkachas l'kagon niskavin l'hagbi ez ha'talush. V'chotach ez ha-mechubar. Abayi will say, It's a case where you meant to pick up the talush and you ended up cutting mechubar. What's the difference? Right? And they quote in the idmar niskaven like this mechubar patur. So my taima, the haloi chavin l'shum chaticha, because you didn't even mean to cut. So what does the Gemara already know? That there's two types of misasik. Right? Abaye defined misasik as what? Right, meaning I didn't intend to do this act at all. Right? According to Rava, I did intend to cut, but I didn't intend to cut something which was aser. Rava defines that as misasik also. So misasik, as I said, is yes, the lowest on the ladder of sin. But as you see from Abaye and Rava, there are multiple levels. Right? Even within misasik, right, where I'm involved in something else, there are different ways of being involved in something else. Right? Rava says, even if I intended to cut, if I had a mitzik, as Reb Lochem formulates it, in the cheftza, that's also called misasik. Right? Meaning I fully intended the maisa, but I made a total mistake about the cheftza, right? And therefore that's misasik. Abaye says, no, it isn't. Right? That's shogeg, because I meant to cut. What is misasik? Only if I was niskavin lahagbiyah, right? V'chotach. So, already Rav and Abaye, even with the misasik, give an argument, okay, let's say misasik is, I didn't do the sin at all. I didn't do the mice at all, but how did you get to that point? How do you get to the hadagdara? Is it sufficient to be mistaken about what you are applying your action to? Or do you entirely have to misunderstand the situation? I mean, I was doing one action, another action happened. Right? So Rava says, even if I know what I'm doing, it's just I have a serious fundamental flaw about the metzias, that's misasik. Abaye says it's not true. Right? It needs to be that I was totally involved in a maisa that doesn't resemble the maisa that I ended up doing. All right? I meant to be magbiya, I was mechatech. Then the Gemara gives another one. Lachro chazat talush, v'chota chazat mechubar. Abaye amar chayav, dahoi chavin l'shum chaticha. Rav amar pater, dahoi chavin l'chaticha d'yisura. Right? And if that formulation wasn't clear enough, right? This is what I always tell my talmidim when you're learning kachim, right? Kachim, mesechtos, it tends to be the Gemara sounds achronish, right? They lay out the chakirs very nicely for you. But the Gemara basically says it explicitly, that Rav and Abaye argue, right? Is misasik where I made a mistake in the action or in the, right, either the chetza or the particular circumstances, right, but not the entirety of my action. So even within misasik, you have different madregos. So when you go through sugyot, you try to figure out, is something misasik? You also have to take into cheshbon, there are different ways of something being misasik, right? There are different levels of misasik in general, not even just in Shabbos. Now, we move to the even more complicated thing, which is, barring the fact, right? Leaving aside the fact that Abaye and Rava argue about what is misasik in Kol Torah Kula, in Hilchos Shabbos it gets even more complicated because, as we've seen, we have two psukim. Right? We have two psukim. So, if you look at number 5, the Gemara in 5 quotes the same machlokes. So, this, well, it's not totally clear, right? It's not totally clear where it applies Kol Torah Kula.
It's talking about Shabbos
in the context of a wider discussion of misasik. That's why it's not totally clear, right? You're right. Right? I mean, this is part of the problem. And again, I gave you the link, but that's part of the problem. We'll see now, right? Rashi, not in Krisos, but Rashi in Shabbos, the exact parallel, says that where do we derive this from? From Asher Chatabba. And therefore, what's your name again?
Ruvain.
So what Ruvain says, is this a rule in Kol Torah Kula? According to Rashi, the answer is absolutely. Right? Because Rashi, commenting on this sugya of Chatach Esatalush, says we derive it not from Meleches Machshev Esasra Torah, but from Asher Chatabba, which is the pasuk from which we derive Misasim Kala Torah Kula. Tosvos doesn't like this. Tosvos in 7, in Krisos, and again in 9, in Sanhedrin, says, what are you talking about? Vim tomer shogeg nami dechal terakula lo miskaven leiser. Said, I'm sorry. What? Right? You didn't mean to cut the usher thing. That's called shogeg. Right? That's called ilu badak yafe yafe. Right? That's called the Rambam. Right? You know, I go into my garden. I see a carrot where I planted it, and I say, oh, I'm sure I cut it on Erev Shabbos. Tosfos says, that's mitzaseik. Right? You went into your garden, you went to get your carrot, so you thought you picked it on Erev Shabbos. That's mitzaseik. Right? You know, move it with your foot a little bit, right? See if it comes out easily. You'll know whether it's still planted. Like, what are you telling me? This is shogeg, paradigmatic shogeg. So therefore, Tosfos answers, so Tosfos here says, look, in Kol Torah Kula, when you say it's, right, when you have Omer Mutter, so the Gemara in general says Omer Mutter is Shogeg, right? Right, what sugi is that? What? No, actually, Mako is the exception. Right? Mako Zayinam and Bey is the exception. Right? That's where Rav and Abaye argue about Ritzicha. Ritzicha, Omer Mutter is either Karev Amezit or Karev Le Ones. Right? It's the Sugin Shabbos Tav Samaches. Right? That Omer Mutter is equivalent to Shogeg. Right? Which is important. Lahalacha, parenthetically, why is it important? Right? The most practical implication of that Lahalacha Lamais Bezmanazeh is Tenechinishba. Correct. Because the formulation of the Binyan Sion and the Tshuvas HaKadoshos and Chof Gimel, right, the first person to introduce the notion that modern non-Shomer Shabbos Jews are Tinok Shenishba, bases himself on this wide application of Omer Mutter, which is the way he derives this notion of Tinok Shenishba, right, which is then, right, obviously becomes central in Psak, starting in Germany, Malam Lahoel, Aleph Chof Tes, and then, etc., the Marshag, and a Tshuva actually to America. Fine, and then eventually floats over to modern postgame, despite the Minchas Elazar's objections and Aleph, Ayin, Dalet. Fine. Yeah?
What's
Oh, sorry, well, you say something's permitted, right? You think something's permitted. No, I think it's permitted, right? I think it's permitted, right? I think it's permitted. Oh, I didn't know. Right? I didn't know it was Mutter. That's Shogeg. It's normally Shogeg. What was your name? Right. What Ami is correct, right? Ritzicha is different. Ritzicha is the exception, where Rav and Abaye argue that it's either Karav LaMezit or Karav LaOnes, right? Why that's true is very interesting, right? And presumably has to do with complicated sugyas in the ninth parak of Sanhedrin in terms of the role of Kavana in murder. But that is really not a discussion for now. But Tosfos says, look, here, you really meant to do something. Behet there. Tosfos increases, just gives a practical one. He just says, look, no, there's a difference. Right? Tosfos doesn't reject the possibility there's a Kol Torah Kula. Tosfos just says, look, there's a difference. A normal shogeg is where we're talking about something which, right, he made a mistake, but we know, like, it is known that is usher, right? It's like, right, it's chaylev. Right, he thought it was Shuman, but it is Chalev. Right, everyone else would look at it, say it's Chalev. Here, it wasn't that like he thought Chalev was Mutter. It was he thought it was Talush. Right, so Tosfos makes a very, very slight distinction. Right, there's a difference between something where we know what the object is. He thinks it's Mutter. That's Shogeg, and something where he conceptualized it wrong. Right, I mean he knows that something which is Mechubar is Asur. He just thought it was Talush. Right, and that he says is Misasik. But Tosfos in Sanhedrin, in number 9. Says, maybe not. Tosfos in Sanhedrin opens the possibility that if you look at V'yesh Lomar, says it's 2 lines down. V'yesh Lomar, the Hachi Gomer, B'Shabbos Pater Avu B'Shenen Mishum Malachas Machsheves. V'od V'yesh Lomar Misasek the Pater Kasuv Miba Hasam Haining Gufarish Hasam L'Rava Mishkachas La etc. He says Shabbos is different because it's derived from Malachas Machsheves. And therefore, you're right. There are certain things that in Hilchos, everything else is considered shogeg. But on Shabbos, where the requirements of Kavana are higher, right, or the definition of Malacha requires more intention, let's put it that way, what in Kol Torah Kula would be considered shogeg, in Shabbos would be considered misasek. And therefore, he says, that may answer the question here. But it could be in a chanami. In Kol Torah Kula, right? Maybe in Hilchos Shemitah, Naniach, right? I don't know, right? Pick some agricultural one. That would be Usher. That would be Shogeg. And in Shabbos, those mistaken cases of cutting is considered Misaseg. And Tosfos even suggests that that would be true even by case of Hana. Right? Even if one would violate Shabbos, derech hana, right? In kol hatar kula we say v'sazik v'chalom v'arayos yurchayev, and Shabbos it wouldn't be true. So what's the upshot of it? Right? So what's the upshot of this? So you have a machlokas, and I attach this to the email, so it's there, but I'll just say it outside. Right? Mikvei Eger is a machlokas in his Tshuvos and Tshuvaches, between him and the Nesivos. Not in the Nesivos, but in the Makor and the Makor Chaim. Makor Chaim? Makor Chaim, yeah. In his Perish and Or Chaim. And I think Taf Mem Hei, I think. But it's all quoted there in the Mikvei Eger. Is Mis'asek, right, now getting back to our question, is Mis'asek not an action of Isser at all, or is it an action of Isser? The Nesivos contended, Mis'asek is klum, nothing, absolutely nothing. Mikvei Eger says it's not true. Mis'asek is, right, you know, somewhere closer to Shogig, right? Maybe a little bit lower down, but it's a Maisa Avera. But, Rabbi Kivi Eger's Mechadesh, that's only true when? Kol HaTorah Kula. But it's not true on Shabbos. Because on Shabbos, because of Melechas Machsheves, it's not a Maisa Avera Bichlal. Right? Following in line with Tosvos, he says it's not an Avera at all. Okay? So, now, Shlomo Eger says the same thing. I gave you this in number 12. I'm not going to read it inside, but Shlomo Eger says it in Tshuva Chaf in the context of Hilchos Tuma Diraban, or in Hilchos Tuma, Tumas Kohanim, right? That's the sources I gave you here in 11 and 12. Shlomo Eger takes the position of his father. Okay. Right, so this is the Lamdus, right? It's all very nice Lamdus, right? Let's review it quickly, okay? I know this is a bit complicated, but let's... You have a paper towel? I know this is complicated, but you'll see in a moment that this is actually quite important. Halacha l'maisa. It's Sivches. I emailed it out. It's... Right? You've forwarded my email? Yeah, so it's one of those attachments. My Varilog is not working. That's really the problem here. So you'll forgive me on some of these sources that are formatted differently. I had to make these searches without my Varilog. It was not a that was not fun. It was. Whatever. So like some of it is from Svaria, some of it is from the online one, which drives me nuts. Some of it is from I borrowed my wife's computer. Yeah.
Does it see this matchup with Rashi?
Yeah. Oh well.
Not for sure. Doesn't happen for sure.
Right. With Tosfos. Yes. Right. Presumably, right. He might. Okay. So let's. Right. Again, I wanted to frame this because if you don't frame this with the lumdus behind it, it's the Nafkaminas I'm about to say it are going to sound wild, right? But I want to frame it because it's important. Okay. So, right. We started with Shogig, right? Shogig in general. Right. So basically, right, you have two ways of conceptualizing it. Right? Either Shogig is, let's call it mazed minus, right? Meaning you did something wrong. Right? Or it's zero. But, you know, whatever. It's spiritual poison. Okay? Fine.
Zero plus.
Yeah, fine, zero plus. Great. Spiritual poison, right? Okay? Now, what the implications for Mis'asek and Ones? And etc. Right? So, if you say it's here, right, that it was mazed, so, you could say, look, Mis'asek is, you know, mazed minus minus, right? It's a very low level sin, but it's something, right? It's something. Now, this is Rabbi Kivi Eger. Or, you could say that no, Mis'asek is zero, right? And it's zero even without the spiritual poison because it's not a Maisa. Right? Now again, you're going to have to figure out whether you're talking Rava-esque Mis'asek or Abaye-esque Mis'asek, but whatever you're going to count as Mis'asek is zero because it's not a Maisa at all, or it's an alienated Maisa, however you want to conceptualize it again, I don't care. Right? And this is the Nesivos. But it's Rabbi Kivi Eger by Shabbos. Right? And Hilchos Shabbos. Right? Now, if you say here, again, you're going to have to figure out why is Mis'asek different. Again, it's no Maisa. It may come to the same point. But whatever it is, by the time we get to Mis'asek, right, it's either, right, not a Maisa, right, or it's, right, it is a Maisa. It's just a very, very, very low level Maisa. By the time you get to Hilchos Shabbos, The basic haskama atzah poskim is that either because all misasek is not a ma'isa, or because hilchos Shabbos melechet machshavas requires a higher level of machshava, it's not a ma'isa at all. L'may nafkamina, right? It's all very nice lamdas. What l'may nafkamina? So here's three nafkaminas. Okay, first one, which tshuva, right? Okay. Yes, tshuva. Fine. That's not. Yeah, no, it is. I gave you my from Eric before. It is. You don't often get tshuva shalas. Sometimes you do. The Node of Yehuda has some very fun shalas. Tshuva, God. If you know what I'm talking about, fine. If you don't know what I'm talking about, no. Yes. People rarely ask poskim, like, how do I do tshuva or something? The Node of Yehuda has, like, one horrible tshuva where someone asked, like, I was committing adultery with my mother-in-law for 10 years, so I have to tell my father-in-law so that he knows that his wife is now usher to him. Okay, that sometimes you get tshuva shalas and they're dramatic, but people don't normally ask, right? Yeah. So then, misasek, you'll say. So how is that you don't get spiritual damage, right? So you'll say, look, either you know you do and you have to wipe it away with a little tshuva, or like again, it's an alien ma'isa. By the time you get to misasek, right, it's an alien ma'isa. It's not a ma'isa, and therefore, right, you don't even need kapara, right? Because if it's not a ma'isa or it's an alienated ma'isa, so then you didn't do it. But basically, by the time you get to Hilchos Shabbos, that's basically haskama saposkim. So l'may nafkamina. So when I was talking to Rabbi Zimmerman about it, he mentioned that this is in the Hilchos Shabbos, but the truth is this actually appeared in Rabbi Jachter and Rabbi Broid's article on electricity in 5751, which is before Hilchos Shabbos was published, and they say the same thing. What? I'm sure they didn't see it, but it A, appeared first, B, more importantly, I had a PDF of it, so I could copy and paste it. So that's important. But they both say there's a big nafkamina. This happened to me last week because Hashem wanted this to happen to me as I was giving shir. My wife was like, you have to mention it because of course it's going to happen to you. What happens? You forget on Shabbos to turn off the light in your fridge. Right? Before so what's... Shabbos. What?
Before Shabbos.
Before Shabbos. I mean, yes, on Shabbos. Thank you. Right, before Shabbos. You get into Shabbos and now you realize your fridge has the light on. Right? So what do you do? So what do you do? So you can't open it, probably, right? You can't open it. That's basically how we assume, because it's a psikresha, right? The light going on is a psikresha, and it's probably a psikresha that's nichalek tzat, right? Right, nichalek tzat, right? Okay, maybe you have lights on, maybe it's lo ichbas light. If it's lo ichbas light, it's machlokas rishonim. If lo ichbas light is nichalek or lo nichalek, but in general, we paskin, lo ichbas light is lo nichalek, it's machlokas rashi tosfos. But most poskim assume it's nichale at least a little bit, right? Because, you know, it helps you see inside your fridge. So you can't open your fridge. So what do you do? So both the Hilchos Shabbos and Rabbi Jachter and Rabbi Broid in this article have a clever solution. They say, wait a second. Let's say you call an unsuspecting Jew and you say, listen, you know, you want to come for a meal? Do me a favor. Can you get the grape juice out of the fridge? Now, what's the issue? What mice are they doing? They're doing a ma'isa heter. Opening a fridge door is mutter, right? But they don't know the light's on. Or in some formulations, you actually call somebody else who it's not his fridge, and they open it with like their eyes closed. People have all types of variations on which of these are mutter, and you ask them to open the door. Why? You can't, right? Normally, you can't tell someone to do a ma'isa avera, right? It's lifnei iver, but if you say misasek, at least misasek in Hilchos Shabbos is bechal not a ma'isa avera, right? It's not, right? Ma'isa avera. It's not mazed minus. It's not no spiritual problems, right? It's mamish nothing. So you know the light's on. So when you do it, it's a psikresha. But for them, they're just opening the fridge, right? Or you call somebody else in, and it's not their fridge, and therefore them, it's, right, lo nichale, they don't care, right, which is the Gemara in Shabbos Kuf Gimel, right, that when something is besadeh acherim, so for them, it's, right, there are different formulations in poskim, which of these is okay, but there is this suggestion that asking somebody else, who either doesn't know the light go on, or even, possibly, he knows it's on, but doesn't care because it's not his own, because misasik is so low, it's mutter. Right, it's mutter to let them open the door. Now, again, which of those? I'm not going to poskin for you and tell you which of those is mutter. But where does this come from? Right, this notion comes from what? So posthumous it is, right? Because what's misasik? Misasik, I'm doing one thing and something else happens. Right, if you know the light's going on, it's psikresha. Right, But the assumption of these poskim, at least, right, is, right, if you look here, right, yeah, it's the end of this page, right? So too it appear to these authors that one could allow fellow Jew to open the door when he does not know the light will go on, as that is only in the category of misasik and thus permitted. Yeah, that's a mistake when it says here Bikivagar 9. It should be 8. Right? It says 8 in the article, but it says 9 in the article, but it is 8. It is Tshuva 8. Yeah.
But you could distinguish between that case and what the Rosh Hashanah says. I mean, what he's saying is if someone's about to go open the refrigerator, you know the light time, you don't have to stop. But you're going and actively asking someone, why don't you go get the grape juice from the fridge?
That's the Orchot Shabbos' case, right?
Right,
so like I said, where you draw the line, right, you could draw the line at different places, right? For sure, you could make an argument, look, they don't know. Now, this happened to me on Shabbos, right? So what happened? On Shabbos, it was easy, right? I didn't open it, right? They were added kulos, because my five-year-old went to get grape juice, right? So he didn't know the light was on, and he doesn't care, and he's a five-year-old, and right? So that gets into all types of questions, right? That complicates the sugya, but in the direction of kula, right, that gets into the question of how much I have to prevent my five-year-old from, right, from violating Shabbos, right, if it's for him, if it's for me, right, that's a whole complicated sugya, not for now, right, whether gedolim or muzar laktanim, right, whatever, what? Yeah, b'nei beto, but again, if he's getting it for himself, right, it was like, right, they're getting grape juice, or what actually happened, no, my son, hurt himself. He loved, or pretended to hurt himself because he loves ice packs. So he went to get himself an ice pack. Okay, do I have to stop him from getting the ice pack? Pashtos, I don't have to, right? It's combination. It's, right? It's misasik on a katan, which is borderline chinuch, he's 5.5, right? All types of, so I just let him do whatever, right? Let him do it, right? So, Ray Broyden and Ray Jackson says it's mutter if the guy's going to do it, right? So it's fine. It's misasik. Let him do it, right? The Rosh Hashanah goes farther, right, and says, right, I can initiate it, right? I mean, I know one of my cousins, he got the psag, I think it was from Rabbi Meiselman, but it could have been from Shurkin, one of the two, from one of his rebbeim at Taurus Moshe, that he could even do it bechavana, right? He could get a Jew who wasn't their fridge, they could close their eyes, right, and they could go into the fridge, because it wasn't their fridge, so it's, right, lo nichalei, and it's only psik reach of the lo nichalei, and if they're not looking, so then they're not getting enough from it at all, and maybe it's mezazik is really opening the fridge, and, right, I don't want to like put too much stock in it. I'm saying this like third hand, right? But some sort of formulation where even they knew what was going on, but it was somebody else, right? But you will see this in poskim, right? And again, I'm not going to poskim, but where is it coming from, right? It's coming from the notion of misasik is nothing, but Ray Zimmerman is right. How far you're willing to take it depends very much on how much you actually think each of these cases is misasik. And as we saw, even Rav and Abaye, right? It's not always clear where the line is, right? Because if they're going to open the fridge, right, of their own accord, so maybe that's misasik, right? If I tell them to go open it, right, you know, yesh ladun, right, you know, right? Now, that's the Orchot Shabbos argument. Who cares, right? They're still just opening a fridge. They don't know the light's on. It doesn't matter, right? And even if the fridge goes on, it's nichale when they open it. They just opened the fridge. It's misasik in a chanami, and that's why they say it's mutter, right? Now, it could be... right, but maybe, but the average, you know, now you can get all these fancy fridges, right? When I went to buy my new fridge, right, they told me, oh, you can get the regular one with Shabbos mode, you can get the Super Spitz one, which has a timer built in that has all the Yom Tov and Shabbos times programmed for the next 40 years, and therefore it'll never happen, so maybe they just assumed that would never happen, right? You know, it's like, it's the one time you forget to turn off the light that you regret not getting the upgrade. But again, all these shittot, right, in their variations, are playing off this issue, right? Is to what extent is it really true that misasik is not a maisaver at all? And if it's not a maisaver at all, right, how much does that mean I can actually initiate a situation in which someone else does it, right? Can I let them do it? Can I tell them to do it? Right, again, right?
If there's not a maisaver at all, why can you not tell someone else?
So presumably you can, right? I mean, that's what they argue right now. The closing your eyes in someone else's fridge is already a bit more, because then they know what's going on, then it's harder to say misasik, right? Then you're getting into questions of, right, not just misasik, but psikresha de lo nichale and a derabanan, right? And, you know, then there's all types of cheshbonos. What type of light is it? It's LED, right? It's an LED light, all the new ones are LED, so then it might be derabanan, it might be nothing, it might be, right, you know, whatever you think, you know.
If I go over to Plony on the street and say, can you come into my house and help me open my fridge? that he knows for a fact. Either you're a complete idiot who doesn't know how to open the fridge.
Yeah, or you're not me.
As everyone knows.
It's a caution on my side. I don't know. You'll come up with a decision. You're right.
As if everyone doesn't have a brain who's over the age of 6 and doesn't ask me to open his fridge. It's because the light's on.
So ask a 5-year-old. I don't know. No, but you're right. You ask for help. You invite him over for Kiddush. Right? No, you could do different. You don't just say, you walk up 6 flights of stairs and you say, I need help opening my fridge door, right? That's not going to work. But you could say, can you come over for Kiddush? Do you mind getting the grape juice? Right? Come up with a chidimtzer, right? It's not so crazy, right? I'm going to set the table. I'm going to set the challah. I'm going to set the cookies, the cake, whatever. And, do me a favor. Can you just get the grape juice out right before we start, right? You can come up with a situation, right? You're right. If I go over to someone awkwardly, right, who I don't know, or even I know, right, in a chanami, they'll figure it out, and then you're going to get over this. But this whole sort of series of shita and poskim that I can use somebody else, again, in whatever way you want to say it, in whatever way you want to assume, right, what Kim does and what they're thinking, right, all that is based on this notion that misasek is, right, mufka from being a maisavera bechlal, okay? Does anyone explicitly disagree with these heterim? I'm not comfortable with it. I something doesn't sit right with me, right?
That's what I'm saying. I think there's a difference if somebody is going on their own.
Why?
Because the person on his own is doing a maisa, which in his mind is a complete heter. Right?
And I should ask him.
So there is a story. Maybe you're familiar with the story of Salavitch, who went into a room. And accidentally or just by rote turned on the light. I've never heard the story. I've heard it told a couple of different ways. But the story is that he started crying. Yeah. Someone came over and said, etc. Nothing. So the way I heard it once, the best way I heard it, was, even doing something like that on Shabbos when it's ase, means there's a problem. So,
I don't know of anybody offhand who explicitly says this is not true. That doesn't prove anything, right? Like, right, Ben Narsha always points this out, right? And it's always true, right? Just because no one says anything, especially in the Achronim, doesn't mean that they didn't argue. It just might mean they never thought of this hetero to argue with it, right? Like, sure, if someone is, now knows that the Orchel Shabbos is around, now he's commenting, he doesn't say anything, right? Maybe, right? You could derive something from that, but probably not, right? You have to have reasonable an assumption that they are engaging with the Shita and choosing not to engage, right? So, but that discussion, right, is based on, again, this whole series of issues in Misasek, and again, you got to figure out how much of Misasek is it, right? Again, is it really Misasek if normally a light does go on, right? It could be, right, part of it might just be, look, a light normally does go on in the fridge. On Shabbos it doesn't usually, but it's a normal thing, and if it's Psik Reisha and it normally happens, maybe it's not really Misasek, right? Maybe it's just a shogeg, or maybe I'm culpable, whatever, right? You could come up with all types as far as, right? I'm not saying this is halacha l'maisa, but I'm saying, right, that there are serious posts who think it is halacha l'maisa, right, because of this lamdus in Misasek. One which I'm not going to get into because Reb Zimmerman said you're going to get full shear on this later in the year, but I gave you a link to it in an article in Machon Somet, is motion sensors. But basically, Reb Bosner has a very important position, which is quoted a lot in modern Psak, that if you're walking and you accidentally trip a motion sensor, right, it is mutter lechatchila, right, and there's no isser because that was misasik. I was walking. Right, I wasn't turning on a light, I was walking. Now, this becomes very controversial. His position, I think, is widely quoted. It becomes controversial in the extensions that were then made on the basis of it by the Talmidim of Rabinovich. Right, there has been, over the last 10-15 years, two Talmidim Rabinovich. Basically, every time you open a new Israeli halacha journal, whether it be Truman or any other journal, there's usually a new article by Rabbi Dror Fixler or by, what's the other one?
Reich.
Right. Two Talmidim of Rav Rabinovich, who in general is very making electricity on Shabbos, who write these articles consistently, and they say that according to Rabinovich, it's mutter to go through automatic opening doors on Shabbos, because it's misasik, I'm just walking. right? Yeah, so Eitam Henkin, Hashem Yikom Damo, wrote a critique of this, and he said it's not true. It's a very comical article. He said, it's not misasik. What are you talking about? You know exactly what you're doing, and it's darko. He says, I'll prove it to you. He's like, how often do you go to the supermarket, right? And you see people, they're doing like gymnastics in front of the door, right? Because like it's not working right, and they're not sure. They not press on it enough, right? They start like waving their hands on it and like pressing their feet in random places on the mat, right? Like everybody knows what you're doing, and like you do it b'chavana. It's not like you're walking in the door like opens. It's a maisa of walking. Then the door happens to open. Like everyone understands that it's also maisa of opening a door. So the extensions are very controversial. But
if you're walking backwards.
Klachayad, okay, fine. I was told not to get into it deeply, but I just, right now, I want to just get your minds thinking about it, right?
Topics.
Right? I have two more topics, yeah. They're a little bit shorter, so that's okay, but not that much shorter. But just keep in mind, the reason you find these kulos is because of the extensions that are made from Azazik. The third one, which I gave you two articles on this, is it's part of the discussion of what happens when Erev falls on Shabbos. There are other issues. Shlomo Kluger thinks that you don't have to tell anybody, and even lechatchila, it's mutter to continue carrying because whole v'hutra hutra, which is a very controversial shita in general. But there are poskim who say even if you know the erev is down, you're not allowed to carry. You don't have to tell somebody else because it's misasik, right? Because it's misasik because they're just walking and they assume the erev is up, and therefore they suggest it's misasik. It's not pashut; it's misasik, right? But many Psakim are based on the notion that it's misasik. People are just walking. They don't realize that it's carrying a tzatzah, right? Now, it also may depend, because it might depend on what type of erev you're talking about, whether you're talking about an erev in a karmelis, or an erev in what is Rishos HaRabim that has mechitzos, right? Which was mevatel the Rishos HaRabim, right? Because, right, it may depend on Daraisa Darabban and all types of things. I gave you an article by Ray Schwartz. Sheteida, there's slight differences between the published article and the one I sent you, because I asked Ray Schwartz for a version that I could share. Right, and he sent me the pre-edited version. It's an article from the RJJ Journal, but basically all the shitot are the same, and I sent you an article by Ray Simon. It's all there, so if you want to research it more, you have it on what I sent. Okay, that's misasik. Slightly shorter topics. I got two more. Okay, miskayim. I will go through this relatively quickly. You'll probably not read inside as much. Miskayim. Okay, so the Mishnah on Source 1 says as follows. Habone kama yivne ve'chayev. How much you have to build to be chayiv on Shabbos? So habona kol shuv, v'masasiv, makapajiv, v'matziv, v'akoteh kol shuv chayiv. So the Gemara gives a series of examples. Then it presents a rule. Zeh klal, kol osim malachto, malachto miskayemis b'Shabbos chayiv. Anyone who does a malacha and his malacha lasts on Shabbos, so he is liable. Shimon Gamliel Omer, half amaka bekor. I didn't realize how we started a few minutes late. Okay, half amaka bekornas alastam mishas malacha chayiv neichu misak in malacha. So the Gemara sets forth a rule that every malacha has to be miskayim b'Shabbos. Now, what exactly is the rule that the Gemara is presenting? The Gemara then gives an example of this in number 2. Which Rashi says, it's a big, you know, mass of things that you have to cut out, engrave. He says, even though you're going to finish it later, Yesha Mekayimin Kain. Right, so Rashi says, what does this mean? Right, he says, this rule has nothing to do with Kol HaTorah Kula or even all of Shabbos. What does it mean? Malacha Miskayimis in this Mishnah is simply a local halacha in Bona, namely, that or Makav Patish. Even if normally people will continue to finish the malacha, so yesh lomar, it's not makav patish, it's not the end of the process. If some people are mekayim it, so then it's considered finished for the purpose of makav patish and it's aser. From Rashi, you can't derive anything about whether there is a rule in Kol HaTorah, in all malachos, right? It's a local halacha. The Rajba quotes Rashi, and then he quotes Rav Haigon. Rav Haigon Zal Perish, Gion Sha'asa Siman Leida, Hechaduch de Kapiza, Kamosh Nazos Ayubahin. He explains it slightly differently. But again, it seems to be a local discussion of Makiv Patish. There are several explanations, but let me just jump to the Magen Mishnah. Magen Mishnah, however, says that no. In Hilchos Soveya, commenting on the Rambam writes as follows. So the Rambam said in Hilchot Soveya that you aren't chayev unless the color will last. And the Magen Mishnah says, where does he get this from? So Magen Mishnah in 6, and again in 8, in the context of Kosev, says he gets it from the Gemara, the Mishnah on Daf Kuf Beis, namely, that there is a rule that all malachos need to be miskayim. And this is quoted lehalacha by the Sharat Zion, which I gave you in number 10. Okay? However, the Chayadam, I won't read it inside again, we're a little bit pressed for time. The Chayadam in 11, and then as you can see, Arichus in 12, disagrees with this. And the Chayadam says, no, there is no such rule. When the Rambam says that Soveya has to be Miskayim, it's a local halacha too, Hilchot Soveya. Right, namely, something is not called being dyed if it's going to be dyed for 30 seconds, it's going to go away. That's not called dyeing. Now, in terms of the actual Gemara, by Bona, there are technically 4 explanations on how to understand that mission. I've given you all of them, and I included a Rav Shelatz article if you want to go through it. Be'arichos. But what's important for me is basically 2 shitas. Right? There are Rishonim and Achronim who think that there is no such rule. Malacha miskayim b'Shabbos. Right? It's a malacha can be asur even if it doesn't last. Elamai, there are certain malachot that need to last because that's part of the definition of their malacha. Kosher, right? A loose knot is not a knot. Fine. A dye that's going to disappear in 30 seconds, right? You know, whatever, right? You know, you rub your skin, right? It gets red for a second, then it goes away, right? Despite the fact that's what the Gemara thinks was essentially soveya for sheep, not the point. Right? It doesn't last, that's not soveya. Right? That's the position of the Chayadim, essentially, if I want to summarize it in the Achronim. Mishnah Brura follows the position of the Magen Mishnah, that it's not true. That the Mishnah and Shabbos, Kuf Beis, and the ensuing Gemara really wanted to present a rule. No malacha that doesn't last is considered a malacha. Now, this is a very problematic assumption. Right, it's a very problematic assumption because there are plenty of malacha that's not true about. Mevashel, right? Havara, right? Mevashel, you cook water, right? The water cools down, nothing has changed, right? Still, you're chayav and Shabbos. Havara, right? You light the flame, it goes out, right? You're chayav and Shabbos, right? You heat up metal, right? And it cools down. It's Havara and Shabbos. It's a very problematic assumption. Hence, I gave you this article by Rav Shilat. I also gave you a 3-page excerpt from the Yad Pshuta Rabbi Minavich. But in general, you should know that there is this machlokas, and there is a group of poskim, right, including the Ber Allah, right, including the Mishnah Brura, who do think that malachas are defined by miskayim. There are a lot of kashas, as I mentioned, on the shita, but you will see it in Psak as a sniff lock on different discussions because there are major poskim who indeed said it. Other achronim, like the Chayatim, as I mentioned, will not say this. They will say it in certain specific malachot that they're not malachos or they're not miskayim, but they won't make a blanket rule and call it terakula. What? So, Soveya, Kosev, Kosher. The one where it comes up the most is Kosher. Right? So there it comes up a little bit. Kosev, it comes up a little bit. What I gave you from 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22 is kosher. What?
Also is
one word. That's the Mishnah, right? I mean, how you understand it is the 4 days over there. But the one where it comes up the most lemaisa is kosher. Right? Because kosher, the Gemara has a long discussion about it in terms of what is the what is the definition of malacha. One of them, and it has to be shel kayama, the other is umnin. Machlok, as we've shown him, whether umnin and kayama are the same thing, right? Or they're two distinct, whether they're two distinct things. I assume, right, you guys are learning Shabbos in general. So I'm not going to get into the details. I gave you the makaros over here. But again, right, very quickly, there's not much to know about malacha miskayemes, except to know that there are certain malachos where vadai it is definitional, right? Vadai kosher, right, in all its different things. And what I gave you here is that you'll see when you learn kosher, how you define kayama, some post-game define it in terms of intent, right? Meaning, did I intend for it to last? Other people, in terms of the mice itself, is it the type of thing that could have lasted, right? This is a big machlokes a poskim, right? Already the Beis Yosef discusses this. There's a long discussion in the Taz, the Mishnah Brura. It's a local kayama discussion in kosher. And you have specific malachos like Tzove and Kosev where it appears as well. But you will find poskim who will take it a step farther and following in the radical read of the Magen Mishnah to the Mishnah and Shabbos. Kuf Beis will say, in like every malacha, right, will invoke this notion that something which is not kayama, something which doesn't land, is not a malacha. Okay? That's basically what you have to know about kayama. The rest of it is really, right, idach zil gmor in each particular malacha. Look, the kashas against the sheet are very strong. Right, I gave you Rabbi Rabinovich. Rabinovich doesn't hold, doesn't, you know, pull his punches. He's quite harif in terms of showing why the why it's shver, the position of the Mishnah Berurah. But Shetzeda, these are two positions. Rav Shilat really discusses how this emerges from the four different positions of Rishonim. Yeah. It's not daraisa, right? You know, it's not a malacha, right? Whatever. Right, it could be, you know, mekayim k'tzas, right? You find that in kosher, right? In kosher, there are three levels, right? There's mamish miskayim, right? Shel umnus, which is daraisa, and then there's like the middle ones, which are derabanan, and then the ones which are not at all, which is mutter, right? So not necessarily, right? It might not be a malacha at all, but like I said, the primary discussions of those three levels of malacha daraisa, quasi miskayim, which is derabanan, nothing at all, most of the discussions come up in kosher, because l'dati, the simplest pshat, is... Right, it's a local halacha in certain malachot. It's not a sweeping rule. Right, the kashas are too strong. But again, you just to know that you shouldn't be surprised if you find in certain poskim that they discuss miskayim as if it's a rule and call it a regula, because you know there are important poskim who say it, like the Mishnah Berurah. Right,
you know, like why would you say that?
The Magen Mishnah. Again, I gave you Rav Shilat's article and I gave you Rav Rabinovich. You can see extensive discussions over there. Well, that's the problem, right? I don't know what he means, right?
So where are the flashpoints?
It's the same kasha of the Magen Mishnah. We don't know, right? The Magen Mishnah presents it as if it's universal rule, right? But it can't be, right? Because there are no malachos we know.
Which malachos are there where one person says...
Well, that's the problem. I don't know, right? I mean, what are you going to say, right? The way they present it is as if it's all 39 malachos. Elamai, it's obviously not hafara.
It's all academic or not?
What? You know, you'll find it in Tzak. That's the upshot. You'll see it. You know, again, it's very hard. It's very difficult, right? You know. I gave it to you more that you should know, right? Usually, what you find is local discussions, right? For the Biderach Kol, what you're going to find is the local discussions. You know, and I don't know of any posek who says that if you light a fire only temporarily, right?
You think it's before,
you make a spark. No, in a Chanami. Right, in Chanami. Now, I mean, you could come up with all types of fancy lambdas, right? Miskayim means it lasts as long as it normally lasts. I don't know, right? You can come up with fancy lambdas. I don't really know. Right? It's kasha. I don't know.
So you can open the fridge on Shabbos. That's not so that you close
it. Again, right? That's the problem, right? Again, I have no like minuchas and nefesh reading the Beralach. I don't know what he means. Right? I just don't know what it means. Right? I don't know what the Magen Mishnah means, right? But when you see it in Pesach, don't be surprised, because it does appear in the Magen Mishnah. I just don't know what it means, right? Again, there's a reason I gave you two articles on it. I didn't put all the makaros on it. I just gave you articles, because now you can go and you can decide it. Whatever. Okay, Mekalkel. Oh, God, we have like no time. Mekalkel really should have gotten more time. But okay, fine. Let me run through it very quickly. Very quickly. Mekalkel. So, the Gemara tells us that Mekalkel, anything which is destructive... is not a malacha on Shabbos, right? That is the Mishnah in Kuf Vav. They call a mekalkel in Pturin. All mekalkel is patur, except for Chovel and Mavir. Because I have 4 minutes, I'm going to have to be really very quick here.
You can have seven.
Seven? Oh, thank you. Okay, so, but I'm going to really have to do this outside. Look, I gave you okay. We don't have time for an in-depth analysis of the local discussion in terms of exactly how this relates in Havara and Chovel, according to Bolshidas. What? Yes, it is insanely complicated, and I take solace in the fact that I'm supposed to give the generalities and not any particular malacha. So when you do Chovel Mavir, that's your problem. I mean, I gave you makaros on it, but that is your problem. Let me tell you what's important to know about Mekalkel that's not local to Chovel Mavir. Okay, right. Pashtus is Mekalkel is Patur because it's a lack of Machsheves. Okay, that's whether you think that's right? Which Melechas Machsheves? Probably the Melechas Umnin type of Melechas Machsheves. Fine. Here's what you find in the discussions, and this comes up heavily in the Chovel Mavir discussions. When you have Machlokot about Mekalkel, in general what you're looking for is basically everyone agrees that what's called Mekalkel Gomor, right? That's going to be, right? Like that is what the Gemara is talking about, right? What's the problem? The problem is that there are many things that are somewhere in between, right? Like it's Mekalkel, but Eichshehu, somehow, some low level, it has a positive benefit somewhere, right? That's where things get complicated, right? The Machlokot Rishonim in the Chovel Umavir Sugya surround this question, right? I gave you the chart in 25, right? Where the Rashi and the Ran think that according to Rabbi Avo in the Gemara, the Chiddush of Reb Shimon is that normally Mekalkel Ligamre is definitely Pater, but in Chovel and Mavir, you're chayev even a Mekalkel Gomor. Then the position of Rabbi Yochanan, who says that's not true, that Mekalkel Ligamre is Pater, but you're chayev im Tikkun Kol Shehu. Right, so the Chiddush of Chovel Mavir, right, according to Rashi and the Ran, is right which level of Mekalkel is the cutoff point. And again, the exact details of it, we do not have time to get into. But suffice it to say that in general, right, Mekalkel Gamur is Pater and Mutter under certain circumstances. Okay, Lemaisa, what's important to remember is the following. One is that many things that you think are Mekalkel are not, right? That's the first point. And we know this from the Gemara of Mekalkel, of Koreh Bechelmaso, right? Right, that if you tear in your anger, the Gemara says, oh, that's called Metakin, because I calmed down my anger, right? Meaning, it's totally destructive, the helpful component to it is totally external, and yet, right, that may be considered Metakin. Right, so the first thing to realize is that in Psak, often, despite the fact that you have this rule of Mekalkel, and you may be totally convinced something is destructive, it's not always true. Right, that's the first point. The second point, and this is really, really what's important in Lemaisa, is the following. And this is what most of the Makaras that I gave you are, because again, I was told not to focus on the local Malachos, but give you Klalim. So, the most important, I think, in general to keep in mind, is that there are certain Malachos that besides for Mekalkel, right, leaving Mekalkel out of the discussion, seem destructive in nature. The classic example being Soser, right, destroying. When you have Malachos like Soser, so the challenge to figure out is how is a Malacha like Soser Chayev? Isn't it Mekalkel? Right? And the general direction in Poskim is to say no. Right, Soser is destructive for a constructive purpose, and Mekalkel is destructive for a destructive purpose. Right, and that's the difference. Why is that important? Right, that's important because to understand the endless and painful discussion in Poskim about opening cans and opening bottles and opening packages and ripping packages and all that stuff, right, one of the things you have to realize is that the central question the Poskim are banging their head against a wall trying to figure out is what I am doing merely Soser? Meaning it's destructive, but it has a constructive element to it, and therefore it is Soser and Chayav, right? Or is it really destructive, and therefore it is Mekalkel, right? And the real action that you get in Psak around Mekalkel is around questions like this. Is in destructive Malachot, which are usually destructive, but are defined by their constructive possibilities, right? Soser's the classic one, but there are others, like Korea. The challenge is to figure out, right, again, on the assumption that usually Mekalkel means destructive with no constructive purpose, and Soser and the like means destructive for a constructive purpose, the challenge in Poskim is to figure out, how do I look at what I am doing? Right? How do I look at what I am doing? Right, is the destructive act I'm doing considered Mekalkel, like totally destructive? Now that's hard. Why? Because why am I ripping open a package? To get what's inside of it, right? So right? That's the games that you really have to play. It's hard to figure out why certain types of things that are clearly aimed at some goal are still considered makalkel, right? And the real challenge is to figure it out. The answer often lies, and this is the last thing I'll say on it, in a yet even more complicated distinction, which is discussed extensively in the Tshuva I gave you in the last source here in 37 by Rav Moshe, on the line between Makeh B'Patish and Boneh, because Soser is the opposite of Boneh, but Makeh B'Patish has no corollary on the negative. And therefore, Rav Moshe thinks that to the even more complicated part of this discussion is figuring out when what you are doing is the parallel opposite, as Rosenzweig would like to say, even if that's not a real phrase, right, of Boneh, in which case it is Soser, or the opposite of Makeh B'Patish, in which case it is Mekalkel, because there is no parallel Malacha of Mekalkel. Okay? So, I know that I haven't given you much on this, but... nothing. It's mutter. Exactly. That's the point. So Moshe says the whole sugya boils down to, right, what?
That's the Tosfot Gimel.
Yeah. But so Moshe applies this to the cans, right? And he says the whole question comes down to, right, in what cases are we talking about a case where there is binyan bekelim, such that there would be stira bekelim, in which case I have to contend with the more constructive elements of Soser, rather than the purely destructive definitions of Mekalkel. And in what cases am I talking about something where there's ain binyan bekelim, and rather it's Makeh B'Patish, and if it's Makeh B'Patish, the reverse of it is nothing, it's just Mekalkel, and it's mutter, right? That, I think, I could be wrong, but I think the most universal application of these laws is going to be in that sugya. Right, so again, just to summarize that quickly, right, I know I didn't give it justice, but Mekalkel, again, Mekalkel, the Gemara says, is Pater and Kolter, right, in all of Hilchos Shabbos, because you need Melech and Machsheves. The challenge is, A, not everything which is destructive is really destructive, right, hence Korea B'Chamaso, and two, is that there are a lot of Malachot which are definitionally destructive, and the challenge in poskim is to define the difference between Mekalkel, which is Mekalkel Gamur, and Soser and the like, which is destructive or constructive purpose. Right? And this is particularly important, as I said, in the cans packages discussion, because the whole story comes down to the question of when are we talking about Soser? Because then we have real problems. Right? And when are we talking about Mekalkel? And Ramoshe complicates the discussion even more by saying that it depends on whether the kli in question is one under the rubric of Ein Yesh Binyan Bekelim, in which case if it's a kli, right, that would have Binyan Bekelim, it is reversible through Soser. And if it's something which is subject to Ein Binyan Bekelim, and therefore the bone of it is really Makeh B'Patish, then the reverse of it is not Soser, it's Mekalkel, therefore it's Mutter. Now, admittedly, the can discussion gets worse because some poskim say the problem is Soser, some of them say it's bonus, some of them say it's Makeh B'Patish because it's Asiyas Pesach, right? So that discussion really has a whole other series of nightmarish discussions related to it. But the universal principle you have to remember is that Mekalkel is real destructive, and you have to be wary of accidentally thinking something's Mekalkel when really it's one of the destructive est malachot, which are really destructive towards a constructed end. Okay, I hope that those three, I know the second two we ran through, like I said, the Misasik comes up much more in Psak. The Mekalkel, the real challenge is defining it in contradistinction to the destructive malachot, and then Miskayim, as I said, while the Mishnah Berurah does follow the Magen Mishnah that it's a rule called Torah Kula, in general, the simplest way of understanding it, as the Chayadim does, that it's local to certain malachos. Again, I gave you Rav Shilat and Rabbi Minovich. You can look at that to your heart's content and try to come up with some seder in the sugya. But at least that gives you a petach to what poskim are talking about in these three klalim in Hilchos Shabbos.